Sarah, you there?
I am.
Oh, okay, now we're ready to rock.
Let's rock.
I just figured, you know what's gonna happen is we're gonna get into a wicked ass conversation, and we're gonna miss all the good shit, and then I'm gonna hit record and go, fuck, we missed all the great stuff.
I know. Don't you hate that?
What's that?
Don't you hate that? You're like, I just need to record the pre-call, like.
I've done this shit so many times where I'm like, damn it, that would have been great. Like every Monday, I have what I call a campfire in with my team. So every Monday morning before we start seeing patients, I call it a little campfire, just a little 5-minute kind of the goals for the week and go over like stuff that needs to be handled. And literally one of my docs that works for me, every time he goes, I'm just going to put the phone down and record it. He's like, this shit is always so good. I'm like,
aww,
good.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you're inspiring and empowering, you know, your team. That's so awesome. God, I wish every employer did that.
That's what I think it is. Like, and to come back around to what I was saying, I said that there's so many people out there that are, you know, they're trying to sell a product. And literally, I go out and I flat out say to people, you know what I'm here to sell you? Dick shit. Nothing.
Right?
Nothing. Zero. I'm here to, if anything, I'm here to sell you on you and your ability. The end. Period.
Oh, it drives me fucking crazy. I'm not even kidding you. Like, if you haven't seen it already, I've been pretty vocal about it. I get a lot of heat, I would say, too. So whenever you speak your mind, people are not always happy about it.
Love
but
that
I'm
shit,
just
though.
So fucking sick of self-help. Like, the way that it's been going for the last 30 years, like, God, give me something new. Like, literally, when I came out with my book, I remember going in and meeting with my agents and my publishers and going, please, please, please put me anywhere else with self-help. I was like, can't we put this book in? Like, I was like, say it's a fucking memoir. I don't care. Like, don't put me in self-help. And they're like, listen, it's self-help.
I was like, you know what's funny, though, is but I didn't, like, when I heard you speak, and honestly, like, I didn't really know who you were until, and I listen to Ed quite often, because the guy, he's a stud.
Awesome.
He's just
awesome.
A fucking stud.
Yes.
And he's very well grounded, you know, and
right.
That's something that really, really attracts me to somebody is, if you're grounded and you're not trying to sell me a product and try and fluff up how great what you do is,
exactly.
I'm all in. I am
yep.
all the fuck in. And so I listened to him, and I was like, Sarah Centrella, huh, who's this? Oh, let's find out. Literally, you told about 3 minutes of your story, and I'm going to need you to tell your story again because it's so great. You told about 3 minutes of your story, and I went, holy fuck.
it's not raw.
Are you kidding? My podcast is called Smashworks Raw. I mean, it's as blunt as it gets, but I don't do filters for a reason because I think, like, I'm really good at doing me. I suck at everything else I do, but that 1%, I'm really, really good at. So I just stay there.
Well, and the thing is like, when we are really us, that's usually only with the people that we're super close to or, you know, normally that's how people are. They're like, okay, well, I'm only unfiltered around my family or I'm only unfiltered around my 2 or 3 friends. And I was like, listen, bitch, I don't have the time to be 2 people. Like, who has the time for all that? No.
Right. And
you get what you get. Like,
one at bat. One at bat. That's all you get. Just one.
Yeah.
And it's weird that people waste it and go, okay, I'm 50 now. Now I'm going to start. Okay, great. I love that. Cool. What the fuck did you do with the other 50 years?
Right.
You're trying to
be
someone else in your friends. Like, I think social media has had such a profound effect in a good way for getting the word out, because I think social media has exposed a lot of people.
Oh,
now,
for
the,
sure.
The
for
flip
sure.
side, though, is I think it's created a lot of fronting, though, where you see these guys. I love this. They go out and they sneak onto a runway. And they stand in front of a Gulfstream 650. They snap about 400 pictures, and they're all just slightly different because they're holding Burst on their iPhone. And then they
right.
run the fuck off the runway, and then they post about how they got a new plane and they're 19. I'm like,
right.
dude, fucker, you are not Justin Bieber, man. Sorry.
Exactly. I mean, the fakeness of it sometimes gets so, so, so obnoxious. But then I also think, on the other hand, you know, I think it's a generational thing, too. So I think if you grew up with social media, you might totally grow up with that kind of fake side of it. But I think for me, I didn't have Facebook till after the tragedies happened in my life. So
earthquake moment?
I call my earthquake moment. So So I didn't have any of that. And, you know, I was like, all my friends had already been on Facebook by the time I joined or whatever. That was my first thing. I was late to Instagram. I was late to everything. So by the time I came on the scene, I was like, I don't know how to be two people. So, you know, so I think for you kind of go one way or the other, either you're posting like a bunch of fake shit trying to make your life look like what it's not, or you do the scary thing and you're like, well, this is my life. And then the good side of that is you get to see, you know, people, you get to really learn about them, right? Learn about their lives in a way that we didn't know 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It didn't even exist.
Well, it's the exposure, right? Like, it's absolutely the exposure. And I think you're spot on, because people tend to do that. They go, okay, shit. Okay, I'm going to take this selfie. Wait, I got to put a filter on. Wait, okay, I'm going to take it with this light. Wait, I don't give a fuck.
Right?
If you've ever looked at anything I've ever posted, there is never anything that I've changed. I've fallen down in videos. I've dropped the camera where it's pointed at the ceiling in the middle of a video, and I've had to grab it. You see my ugly mug real close because I'm trying to get the craft camera back to where it's supposed to be. I don't care. But I think it's just being genuine that people see. Like, I often look at things like, imagine if you had, like, anyone, Muhammad Ali, and you could go back and you had people filming him from the get all the way till when he passed. Do you have any idea what that footage would give to people? They would freak out.
Right. They would love to know a whole other side of them that no one
you would see. Yes, that's exactly it. I think that's what social media has put out there, is it allows people to go one direction, which is I'm going to be myself and just show the world. And if you like it, great. If not, fuck you. I don't care. And if the other part is I'm going to make this persona, and then I'm going to be a keyboard warrior and try and shit on everyone else's life because I'm so insecure about mine.
Right. Yep. There's plenty of that out there, too.
And there's only two ways, right? There's only two ways.
Yeah.
So with you, like, what I got to ask, like, and I'll come into your story for a second. The Hustle Believer, see, like, the hashtag HBR method, it's so different. Like, I've been through, like, God, I love Tony Robbins because his energy is, it's like hanging onto a fucking locomotive, you know?
Yeah.
And but then there's so many people that try and be that, and that is, that's his energy. He's just like that because he's been the same for 30 years.
Right, yeah.
When I see people trying to do the same thing, I'm like, you're repackaging the same information over and over and over and over and over again. And it's just the same, and it doesn't come out the same because that's not you.
Yeah.
How the hell did you come up with this? Because it's like, I feel it. And that's not even you narrating the book. And I feel
it's crazy because I think that the Hustle Believer scene came out of this idea that I kept on seeing, you know, everyone knows the Ask, Believe, Receive, right? There's posts, you know, whatever, there's posters about it. So I had seen that forever. And then I just remember one day just sitting there going, that's bullshit. I'm sorry, that's bullshit. Like, I could ask for whatever. It doesn't mean I'm going to get it, you know?
Right.
And there was something about it that, like, pissed me off too on a level, because I was like, so you're going around telling everyone all they have to do is ask and then just pray and then voila, like, what the fuck, you know? And so and there was part of me that was like, man, if that was the case, my life would not be in the shitter, which is where it started, like,
sure,
you know? And so I'm all about giving people things that help them feel power, and I know empowerment is like whatever cliche word, but truly, like, I want to know that I am controlling everything I can control. And then, sure, there's a component that you got to let go or whatever. But I don't want to go around just feeling like, oh, I'm floating and hopefully some good shit's going to happen to me. And so the word hustle just resonated with me from, you know, from the jump, from the time I was, like, recreating my life. And I just, you know, anybody that I looked around that I admired, they were literally hustling. And it was funny because, like, even when I wrote the book a couple years ago, hustle wasn't quite the word that it is now. And some people would be like, what, you hustling? I'm like, come on. You know, like,
right.
I'm working. Working.
Well, but that's the word. You just said it. See, people, like, I think the secret is there is no secret. The
work.
Secret is there is no fucking secret. It is.
The secret is work.
Do the work.
Right?
Do the work. And
exactly.
You know what?
You didn't become a doctor by asking someone, could you be a doctor,
right? Right? Like, and that's the thing. Like, people, they want to sit there and go, and they want to be on 9 softball teams and play Call of Duty and drink margaritas every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, And then they sit there and complain about where their life is, and they go, I wish, I wish, I wish. But they're not putting in the 18 to 20 hours a day bleeding out of their fucking eyes to get to where they want to do, get to where they want to be, because they just go, well, yeah, but, and then they make up all the excuses. Like, I think excuses are there to make you feel good about quitting, and that's it.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I also think, like, there's two things that I've found. So, and in the book, I say, you know, when we get to the hustle chapter, I'm like, okay, I know this is a chapter you've been dreading forever. But honestly, like, for me, that was the most empowering part to me, because if I have a dream and my dream is whatever, you know, as far out there as I can possibly stretch it, and it feels huge. Let's say my dream is to be a talk show host, which it so happens to be. But, you know, so it's
crazy. Fucking wait.
Crazy, ridiculous dream. Well, that's awesome. But now, like, what am I going to do about it? You know what I mean? And so most people, I swear to God, like, almost everybody that I coach will be like, say, what do you want to do? Oh, I want to be a best-selling author. Cool. Have you ever written a page of anything in your entire life? No. Well, okay. Like, start fucking writing, you know?
Sure.
And so for me, the hustle was always, like, really empowering, because I would just sit down in there, I would go, okay, so what does it take to write a book? I would fucking go on Google and figure out what it takes and what are the steps, and then I would write my checklist, and, you know, and then I'd be like, okay, tomorrow, now I know what to do. And so tomorrow, you know, and that's what I teach people to do in the book, and that's what I really, when I was interviewing all the other stories that I feature in the book, it was the same. No one knew what they were doing when they started. They figured it out. They just started doing it. You know what I mean? Like,
we didn't know how to drive. We figured that shit out.
You practice. Trial and error.
Yeah, but that's everything. I think anything that's, like, we do that so much is we hedge ourselves so bad by going, okay, I'm gonna do this, but it's got to be perfect the first time I do it. Get the hell out of here. I have failed so many damn times. Oh, my God. And I have no problem with my shortcomings. Shortcomings are shortcomings. Big deal.
Yeah. You know, I tell my clients, like, literally, to me, failure doesn't exist at all. And I'm not even saying that to be, like, you know, it's a tagline.
So cool.
It doesn't exist at all, because it is all, like, it's one step closer to what you truly want to do. So, like, if you, let's say, I want to be a talk show host, and then I started a YouTube channel, and I wound up hating being in front of the camera, that isn't failing at being a talk show host. That's me realizing, oh, that's not my venue. You know what I mean? So, like, there is no failure. That just got me one step closer to knowing, like, okay, this outlet is better for me. I love this, but I hate this. And so, but I think people are so scared to put something out there, and then maybe it isn't as big as they thought it would be, so they're like, they don't do anything. It paralyzes them.
Yeah,
it's like, no, just go out and start doing it. Maybe you fucking love it, and you know, all your dreams come true with it. Or maybe you decide that wasn't for me. It doesn't mean I failed. It means that now I am clearer on which path to take and which place to put all my energy. And I think if people just looked at it like that and also realized, like, you don't have to know shit to start doing what you want to do. Literally, you don't have to know a fucking thing. Just start.
Brilliant. I mean, there's this site, and I think the problem is people don't realize that this website exists. It's called Google. And you could pretty much look up every damn thing that exists.
Oh, my God. If I had a dollar for every time somebody messaged me and said, oh, my gosh, I love your book, how do I become an author? Google.com.
Yeah, let me help you. It's easy.
I figured
it's
it out.
Just a couple of letters.
Figure it out. I don't mean that in a mean way. It's just like I would have never thought to ask somebody something like that. It's like I didn't know. It took me hours of research. It took me, you know, writing 10 proposals and getting 9 of them rejected. But guess what?
Yeah.
The 10th one was so much better than the first one, so that's why it, you know. So you have to be willing to get out there and figure it out.
So with you, I think, and especially because of what you do, and you interact with thousands and thousands and thousands of people and fans, and you coach, and you do, you know, your seminars, and I mean, the vision board, and I'm going to pick your brain about that too, by the way. The people tend to doubt their own ability all the time. So how do you affect that limiting mindset? Like, how do you get around that and really get to, like, tap into that person?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think when, you know, like, let's say somebody has a dream that seems really ridiculous in their current life, right?
Sure.
And then they're like, oh, I'm not worthy, or I don't know, or I couldn't do it, or whatever. I always find that it's because the dream isn't solid enough. It's just the dream is almost like a random idea that someone told them they should want to do. You know what I mean? But okay. If you have spent the time really, really daydreaming about your dream, focusing on it, thinking about it every day, looking at it from a million different angles, you've started working on it, then that's how your confidence grows. And so, you know, when I very first started writing, I had never written shit in my entire life, like ever. But I started on my blog, and I was so embarrassed of how I wrote because I was like, everyone's going to make fun of me, like I'm not a writer, whatever. So I didn't put my name on it for about 6 or 7 months because I was, you know, I was like, oh my God, knowing what I'm trying to write, you know. But then over time, because I was, what, doing it, and I was getting better, and I was learning, and I was like, whatever, then my confidence started growing, you know, a little bit by little bit by little bit. But I would say even, you know, when the book came out, I was like, oh my God, people are going to be like, why? You're not a writer, you know, so... It's one of those things that, like, the more you do it, the more you start to build your confidence and the more you start to learn and get your craft going or whatever. But if you're just standing on the outside of your dream and it's just a big word to you, like, I want to do X, Y, Z, and it doesn't actually mean anything, it's not attached to you, you don't really care about it, then every doubt in the whole wide world is going to sidetrack you. Like, literally anything in any thought you have is going to sabotage it. But see, really the place you have to start is just spending so much time and energy creating it in the first place in your mind. You know what I mean? Like, there isn't a single football player who's ever stepped out on the field who hadn't pre-visualized how their games go.
Every play. Every fucking play.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Dennis Waitley said that, right? Like, Dennis Waitley, he did the visual motor training, right, where he's like, he would just have athletes visualize everything they're doing right down to how, and they hooked them up to you know, computers and found out, holy shit, the muscles and the brain actually go through, you know, stimulation just by thinking it.
Absolutely. And it's such a huge thing. And I think, I don't know why people are you know, so afraid to do it. I think the biggest reason is because, and also because we've grown up, at least my generation, you know, grew up just thinking, oh, you need to do realistic things or you need to follow a certain path or whatever. And so people have really, really stifled their dreams to the point where they do seem ridiculous and seem crazy. They don't even want to say them out loud, whatever. But I always think, like, that's just the story you've told yourself or allowed other people to tell you. So to undo that and to make a new reality, you literally have to start doing the opposite. You have to start telling yourself, I'm a writer. You have to start saying, I'm a writer. You have to start being a writer, right? You have to start actually writing.
You just said it. Speak it into existence. I love that.
So
I love that.
It's time, but it literally is that repetition. And then, you know, now, what, 7 years later, someone asked me today, so what do you do? And I was like, oh, I'm a writer. And they're like, what do you write? I'm like, I write books. You know, and I would have never said that 5 years ago. Never.
But that's badass, Sarah. Like, that's, but see, you did it. Like, and you came, like, I think, you know what? Give me a really, really, because I know you've probably told your story 1,000 times. Can you just, oh, and you're like, yeah, I sure have. But real brief synopsis of what happened and, like, your earthquake moment and then how you just took the fuck off.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so hard to talk about, like, anything that I'm working on now or the book or anything without talking about my story because it just is, it was a catalyst
so
for everything.
Yeah, you teared me up when I heard it. Like, it was pretty intense.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is a rock bottom moment for sure. So in kind of a nutshell, I feel like I've had 2 lives. Well, I feel like I've had 10, but definitely 2 completely separate lives. And one was before 2008, and one was after. And September 2008 is when I randomly picked up my ex-husband's phone and found a message on there that told me he had been having an affair. And at that point, you know, we'd been married for 8 years, and we'd been together since we were 16 years old. You know, my little twins were a year old. My son was 5. And not only that, like, the crazy part about it was, that's bad enough in itself, but it was 2008. So, like, we had just lost our house. Our house had just been foreclosed on. We had just got out of bankruptcy. Like, it was the worst fucking timing, just across the board. Sure. I hadn't had a job in 2 years. We literally had, like, $5 in our bank account. it was just a complete, you know, blowing up of your entire fucking life. And I think because it was so sudden, and because I literally never even had an instinct or
that's what I was just gonna ask. Like, there was nothing inside you before that said, and not so much about looking at the text, but more about did you think at some point you're not where you wanted to be long before this happened, or were you just going through life going, this is where I'm supposed to be?
I think, like, now, I mean, looking back, of course, I could see it more, but I think, like, the couple months that has preceded it, which apparently the affair had been going on during that, there was definitely distance. And so I actually remember having a conversation with him about 2 days before going, like, what is the distance? But it had never dawned on me that it could be that. And mind you, this was before social media. So no one was on social media. I didn't even know how to text because no one texted. Like, people were, no one, there wasn't smartphones, you know, like,
yeah,
we didn't have
10 years ago.
Yeah. So no one, you know, like, and I had never thought to check his phone. Like, literally neither of us were ever on our phones. It was just like if someone actually called you, you know, when it rings.
Right. How we used to talk, right? Yeah,
it was just absolutely like, and also he works construction, so he's with men all the time. So I was, it just never dawned on me. And I was not a jealous wife at all. So I just never in a million years. But you know what's funny is that day, of course, like everything always happens for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. And I used to watch the Oprah show, and this was back when she had a regular show.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was on in the background as I was, like, doing housework or whatever, like folding laundry. Mm-hmm. And I remember her, she had some expert on, and they were talking about signs that your mate is cheating. And so they were, like, going through this list. And I just remember, like, folding laundry and looking up and seeing, like, the words on the screen and hearing her talk. And they're like, well, if you can't find their phone, that's a sign he's cheating. And it was just, like, I didn't even really think anything of it, you know what I mean? But then he comes home, and I'm making dinner, and all of a sudden he's in the shower, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, I wonder where his phone is. And it was, like, in that split second.
You knew.
That I knew. Like,
you fucking knew. I can even hear it in your voice right now. You knew.
Split second. I'm telling you, like, it was just the second I had the thought, my whole body went cold. It was crazy. I was like, holy fuck, you know? And sure enough. So that ended my marriage in 5 minutes. I turned the water off in the shower to get the fuck out of my house and ever come back. And I filed for a divorce about 3 days later. And my life blew the fuck up. And not in a good way.
Yeah.
Not in a good way. It imploded. I think the reason why it was such a catalyst for change is whenever you go through something that is traumatic or life-changing, and I know your listeners have probably had a moment like that, whatever that is, you have two choices, and I really feel like you only have two choices. You either fucking figure it out and get tougher and find strength you didn't even know existed in a human, and you know, just do it, or you fall off the deep end of the cliff. And, you know, since this has happened to me, I've met many women who have not been able to come off the cliff, you know, so, but then I didn't know, then I thought there was only one, you know, I didn't even know people made other choices. I was like, I have kids, I've got to figure this shit out, you know?
Sure.
But now I've been able to have space and coach many people and realize, wow, you know, thank God that was the only choice the universe showed me.
Sure. And you probably, but now with coaching people and just dealing with such a massive, massive population in the public, you've probably heard so many stories and you can find a congruency through a lot of this and go, you know, there's so many similarities. The stories are all going to be individual and personal.
Right. But so many are the same. Oh, it's just crazy how many, I can't, thousands literally of women have messaged me and said, oh my God, I have almost the exact same story. But there's so many women who don't know how to recover from something like this. And I know many of them who've spent years and years and years and never recovered and don't know how to recover. And so that was one of the things, it took me a long time to be able to share my story. But when I did, the reason why was because I wanted to show women, like, you can, like, you are literally strong enough to do whatever you want. It doesn't matter what the situation is. I mean, when he left, I'm telling you, literally the next day I had to go return cans so I could buy formula for my girls. It was bad. It was as bad as it is.
You're, You know what you did, though, is but that's it. Because people make a decision to go change their life, I think, honestly, either inspiration or desperation, and that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
So you hit that fucking wall.
And totally. And it was in that, it was like in the moment of that first week when I was just reeling and, you know, like walking around like a completely spaced out person where I was like, no fucking way am I going to ever be here again. Like, both in a financial situation, never am I going to rely on, you know, somebody else in this way, and never am I going to be in a position where I can't afford to feed my kids if something were to happen. And, you know, so I think what it did for me in a lot of ways was just built a fire under me that I honestly never had. I never had that before this happened. And all of a sudden I realized, wow, I am responsible for three humans. The choices that I make from now on, I can't blame anybody else for. It is all on me. And so in a way, although that feels like a heavy weight, it was hugely freeing in a lot of ways because, you know, I'd been with someone since I was 16. So every decision I had made as an adult, I had made with this other person's, you know, ideas or whatever in my head. Yeah. So I think what happened for me is I was really able to like internalize a lot of that and turn it into my power and my strength and my literal determination to build a new life. And then once I realized I could build a new life, I was like, listen, motherfucker, it ain't going to look nothing like my old one.
Well, because people spend so much time, you know, trying to, you know, create a living instead of designing some life. They don't design the life they want. They just kind of bob along in the river and end up wherever they end up. And then they go, I wish I would have or I should have. But they die with all they die with a bunch of regrets.
Oh my God, I was literally at Pinterest yesterday and I was doing a talk and then teaching them how to make vision boards and I was saying it and they all started laughing, but it's totally the truth. I'm like, I literally made up a fictitious woman and created a complete fantasy life. I was like, because I had to like start from scratch. So I'm like, okay, so what does this woman do for a living? What does she look like? What kind of car does she drive? Like, where does she vacation? What does she do with her kids? Like, fucking made that shit up out of thin air.
And Sarah, look at you, you're fucking doing it.
And literally is all come to pass, and I'm not even, that's not an exaggeration. I was showing them side-by-side pictures, and they were just like, what the fuck?
I got fucking goosebumps. That's so badass, because your vision boards, and I heard you say something, and I, like, I've literally, just for everybody listening to this, I've given away 30 copies of your book.
Oh, so,
and
yay!
I literally,
thank
seriously,
you. That's awesome.
And I've listened to your Audible, the version of this book. I'm on my fifth time because I drive.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
you're
I drive
awesome.
Home from. I drive to my office. I leave my house at about 4:30 or so in the morning. It takes me about 45 minutes to 50 minutes to get to my clinic, and then I drive an hour and a half home because every motherfucker's on the road at 6 o'clock. So
right.
It takes me forever. So I don't sit there and listen to, you know, regular radio because I just get nothing out of it. And knowing
right.
the lyrics to
yep.
every song doesn't do shit for me. So
yeah, yeah.
I mean, so I put stuff on that's going to put good things in my brain.
I do
and
too.
As soon as I yeah. And as
I
soon as I
that.
Heard you, I went, holy shit, I need to just buy this. So I literally, like, the second I heard you on Ed Milet, I bought your Audible book, and I just started playing over and over and over again. But listen to this. My truck grenaded the other day on, like, it just exploded on the freeway, and it left
oh,
me at the
God.
Side of the road. So it was no big deal. I just kind of went, all right, this is an excuse to buy a new truck. So I went, I got a ride to my clinic, finished up seeing all my patients for the afternoon, called Uber, my very first time I've ever been in an Uber car. So
what?
Uber comes, yeah, I've never taken Uber in my life. So this guy comes to pick me up. His name's Rodolfo. He drives around the lot because my clinic is inside this huge shopping mall. So he's trying to find my
yeah.
clinic. And I'm like, I'm the only guy in a suit with a big-ass gym bag standing outside. Trust me, you can't miss me, you know. And he goes, oh, there you are. So he comes to pick me up. He probably didn't say more than 9 words the entire trip, and I just went off like a fucking firecracker just talking. And he, before we got to my house, he stops at the light, and he turns around, and he goes, and he had a really, really thick Filipino accent, and he says,
yeah.
mind flipped. He says,
wow.
How do I do what you do? How do I create my dream life? And I reached
wow.
into my bag. I reached into my bag. And I pulled out your book that I had
oh,
notes.
My God.
I kid you not. I had notes, highlights, everything.
Oh.
And I said, read this and do every damn thing it says. go on Audible. And he goes, oh, he goes, I have Audible on my phone. And he taps his phone on the dash. And I go, download the book, listen to it forever.
Oh, my
and
God.
I got,
totally...
I got out of the car. Got out of the car. Yep.
Oh, my God. You totally made me cry. I have, like, full body chills.
Yeah. You have, holy you shit. Have such a gift. And, like, even, like, my patients, I give them the book. I get anybody I can because I'm like, you need to understand. I love the fact that what you explain and how you do it, it's not a repackaging of the same damn information. And God bless it. Listen, we've all listened to Jim Rohn and Brian Tracy and all these guys. We've listened to all these guys. I love it. But it's the same shit over and over and over again.
Can
and
I
eventually,
just tell you, can I just tell you that, like, so in two years ago when the book came out or whatever, I just remember, like, sitting with my agent, and I was an unknown writer at the time. I hadn't even been published on any big blog or anything like that. And I just remember sitting there. I was like, if you just give me a chance. Just give me a chance. This message will speak for itself. Like, I've already watched it change people's lives, like, dramatically change people's lives. There's no one who's tried this that hasn't got results. If they've actually done the work, there's no way you can't get where you need to go. I was like, just give me a chance, you know. And she took a chance on me, and then I got the, you know, the publishing deal or whatever. And I just kept on telling them, like, I know. Eventually someone's going to get this. And when they get it, they're going to see that it's so different than everything that's out there. And it's going to connect in a way that it never has. And the reason why I know that is because it's the only thing that has connected with me. You know what I mean? Like, everything I was reading, I was like, no, that's not me. Like, I want real world shit. I want to know, like, how the mom down the street is building her business when she's not a fucking chemist. Like, how does she know?
Get in the fucking dirt.
Like, what the fuck?
Get in the fucking dirt. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, no one is telling me real stuff. And I know people will get it. And so, for, you know, it did really well for the first couple months. And then it's literally been my hustle ever since. And I'll be honest, like, all that team, you know, that was around me, they're like, oh, fuck, that's done. You know, we're on to the next hot thing or whatever. Sure. I was like, no, you don't understand. And so literally, like, I told Ed, I was like, right before I had been on the Ed Milet show, and this is something I haven't, like, told anybody else, but, like, right before I was on the show, I remember, like, one day just going, what am I doing? Like, should I still be doing this? I walked away from a corporate job. I have three kids, like, this is crazy. It, you know, it hasn't done everything I thought it would be. Like, was I crazy to think this, whatever? And I just remember just, like, taking a time out and sitting there and meditating and being like, and just visualizing where I know it will be and where I've always known it will be. And then I just had this, like, word come up, you know, like, in me that was, like, your life can change in a day. Like, all it takes is one thing to change your life that feels like an instant. But it's been 7 years of work. So seven years building this method or whatever. And then literally, like, the Ed show came out, like, the next day. And, I mean, it's changed everything. Sure. So for all of those hustlers that are out there who've been grinding on it for so long that you're like, maybe everyone else was right. Like, maybe I'm crazy. Go back to your vision of what you know is possible. And then just get back to work and say, everything can change in a day. And literally anyone who's blown up, I mean, look at Cardi B. Everyone thought she blew up overnight. Like, where did Cardi B come from? No, I've been watching Cardi B from way back, before anyone knew who the fuck Cardi B was. So, you know, it will feel like it happened in 5 seconds, but no. People have been working their ass off
that's the one thing that that sticks me sometimes when people go, oh, you're so lucky. I'm like, you can take your luck and shove it up your ass. Are you high?
Luck has nothing to do with it.
I've been at this for 20 years, man. 20 years. You know, and I think
it
has nothing to do with it. You know, and I think the problem, you just said something really profound, and that's, you actually said a lot of profound things. So this is really, like, that people end up talking themselves out of their goals. I said something, and I asked a question one time, and I said, what is the average number of times people try and attempt their goals? And the answer is less than once.
Yeah.
Because they talk themselves out of it. And then here's even worse, is they put so much weight and merit on the opinions of the three or four people around them. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, my God. People tell me all the time, and I'm not kidding you, it's just another one of the things that I get emailed about all the time or messaged about all the time. They're like, well, you know, what do I do if nobody supports my dream? And I'm like, you don't give a shit?
So, like, yeah, so what?
You don't get a So, and the way to protect it in the beginning, while it's still fragile for you, you know, because, like, when you first come up with a dream, it's fragile, and sometimes you might be excited, and you might tell the people around you, and they'll look at you crazy, and then you'll go back and be like, oh, I guess that was a bad idea. So, in the beginning, keep it to yourself. Just work. Work on it. Like I said, when I started my blog, for, like, 7 months, I didn't tell a soul that I was writing this blog, but people started reading it, and it went viral. And then,
like,
you know, like
crazy,
everything.
Like crazy.
But I didn't go out in the very beginning and be like, oh, I'm a writer. I'm going to make this huge blog. It's going to be so great. Da, da, da.
Right.
I was working. I was building up a body of work and building up my own confidence to the point where I could withstand some of that, you know.
Yeah, the impact of anything. The trolls and the haters.
Yeah, and then at that point. Yep, and at that point, I could start cutting people because I was like, by now, I'm set in this. This is what I want to do.
What do you say, Sarah? Hashtag change your crew?
Change your crew, baby. Change your crew.
But that's the fucking truth. That's the truth. People, they hang on to these people that, like, I heard Ed actually say it one time where he said, people, they talk about how, oh, they love me unconditionally. And he's like, I couldn't disagree more.
Nobody loves you unconditionally.
They love you on one fucking condition. One condition, and that is that you don't become too much better than them.
Right?
You know, and the Absolutely. Second you start to excel, they try and drag, and I've been through it lots of times where people are like, oh, why would you want to do that? No, don't do that. That's a stupid idea. Don't do that. Hey, you know, everybody else has done that too. It's just going to fail. Then you're going to be upset.
Absolutely.
I tune that shit out so fast. And
you have to protect it. You have to protect your dream. You know, like, you guard it. You protect it until you're ready to withstand whatever comes at you. And then by that point, it doesn't matter who. Like, literally, it doesn't matter who would come to me in my life right now and be like, oh, I think what you're doing is crazy. It was like, okay, cool, bye. Like,
yeah, awesome.
Get the fuck out. I don't care.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, but that's because I've been on this grind for so long that nobody could say anything to me that I would be like, yeah, you're right, I'm going to go back to whatever, you know.
But you don't know any different because you have this direction where it's only forward. You know, you don't look beside you to see who's beside you or what's going on behind you. You rip the rearview mirror right the fuck off your car because you don't look behind you. So rearview mirrors are so tiny and the windshield's so damn big. Like, people don't get that. I'm like, you're only going one direction.
And people always ask you, like, how are you going to deal with your competition or whatever? Literally, start out and just make your own thing so your own. It doesn't matter what it is, like what company you're building or what your dream is or whatever. Focus on you. Like,
there
literally
is enough.
Focus
Trust
on
you.
Making your
there
own
is enough.
Thing. Yeah, make yeah. your own thing so great that somebody asked me the other day, so what if another female comes along with self-help? And I was like, that would be awesome, number one, because there's not sure. enough of us. And number two, like, I'm sorry, but no one's ever going to replace me because I'm one. There's one of
you're
me on
you.
Fucking planet.
Yeah,
so,
there's one Sarah Centrella.
Yeah.
And you're doing what you're supposed to do. And if someone comes out, it doesn't matter who it is. Listen, how many apps are out there? How many times have you looked? And I believe me, I try not to eat at places like this. But if you look,
right.
there's a McDonald's, a Burger King, an A&W, a Taco Bell. They're all in the same fucking corner. You know
right.
why? Because they all make each other busy.
Yep, and so whatever it is that you're wanting to do, if that's what you want to do bad enough, you're going to fuck the competition. You're going to find a way to make
you will
it
win.
That great. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you will win. Do you find that people tend to, like, fall back into those kind of disempowering questions? Like, you know how they kind of ask themselves, well, what if it doesn't work? What if it's too hard? What if it costs too much money? What if nobody likes it? Like, do you find that people tend to fall back into those kind of, like, really fucked up, like, downward turn.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? Absolutely.
I think that's our preset, right? Like, that's
negativity. Yeah, default is negativity for
yeah,
sure.
That's what we know. Those are all the things we're trained to worry about. Those are all the things we're trained to have, quote, all the boxes checked before we can do anything. That's how we've been conditioned. So I think unless you are actively counteracting that with faith, with positivity, with action, you know, with changing how you're thinking, with visualization, with all of those things, how could you not be stopped by all of that? You know what I mean? And that's the tools. Honestly, those are the tools I want to share with the world. I wanted to share with the world how, because no one fucking talks about how you change your mindset. Like how sure. Jomo and Susie and whatever, like how you change your own mindset. And, you know, how I start to become a positive person when I am not a fucking naturally positive person.
So start with that. You know what? Like if so, there, because there's lots of that. Because the default thinking is negative. I think that.
I
and,
do.
And you
I
said,
think
you
that's
said the right. True. You said the yeah. right thing, and it's training. Because I think when you're born, you are this fresh slate, and then you know you start to grow up, and you're a child, and your parents keep telling you not to do things because you're going to get hurt. Me, I have two kids, and you know what? I'm 45. I've eaten shit. I've wiped out, I've stuck prongs in a light socket until I figured out that you have to stick one in either one to get electrocuted. Like, I've done the dumbest shit yeah. on earth. But you know what? I'm not dead yet. Nothing's killed me so far.
Right.
So I've learned more and remembered more, but I also remember parents going, no, don't touch that.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that trains you to be really apprehensive to try something because there's no encouragement there.
Right.
So how does somebody go about changing that negative mindset? Like, what can they do?
I mean, I think it's so, so common. Honestly, like, everybody that I coach obviously wants to get in, you know, change their future, right? So they're probably dealing with some of this. But I do know a few people, a very few people in my life who are, I think, were born positive. And we all know probably one person like that in sure. our life who you're just like, oh, my God, can I just drain some of your energy and put it in me? Because, like, I wish I was born like that. So the good news is I feel probably about 80% of us weren't born like that, but with the tools that I've learned that I practice daily and that I coach, you can actually change that, and not just in a temporary way. And that's the thing that had frustrated me is when I was looking at, okay, how do I change my thoughts? No one was saying, A, how I did it, and B, it all seemed very surface level. And yeah. I was like, no, I need to get down to the root of this shit. I need to change my beliefs that are so subconscious I don't even know they exist. Like, I want to be a new human being. Like, how do I be a new human being? And so, and since everything that we do in our future is determined by our thoughts, that's our steering wheel, right? So if you get the steering wheel right, then the car is going to follow it. So for me, there's a couple of tools that I coach all the time that work amazingly well, and there's three simple tools. The first one is, and I use the metaphor, it's like you're playing tennis, right? So when a negative thought comes at you, I always think of it as standing on a big tennis court and you have, like, the automatic ball thrower, you know?
I don't know what they're called. Yeah, it comes at, like, 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're just standing there. You're supposed to return these serves, right? And there's, like, boom, 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 boom. Those are all your negative thoughts because that's what happens to most of us all day long. All you hear is negativity. Like, I don't have enough money. I'm too fat. I'm not pretty enough. Whatever, right? So they're coming at you all day. And what are you going to do? Just stand there and let them, like, destroy you? Like, pellet the shit out of you? No. Well, your job is to return the serve. So you're running around like a crazy person trying to get every one of those balls, and you hit them back. So I'm such a visual person that for me that
love it.
Analogy always really helps me to be like, oh, I can see it. That's a ball coming at me. I'm not fat. I'm healthy. Boom. You know, the negative thought comes, I'm stressed out about money. Everything is fine. I'm fine. You know, and you just throw it back every time. And it's the simplest way is you just reverse the statement. So whatever's coming at you in your brain, you reverse it and send it back. Nope, I'm the other thing. Nope, I'm the other thing. And what happens over time, and this is proven, Harvard just did a study about it, there's many studies about it, but what happens over time is you actually change the underlying thought and belief in your brain so that over time you will completely believe the new sentence that you've returned, and by believing it, it will be your reality. That's fucking crazy.
That's so legit, though, because you're in control of, like, if anyone ever says, yeah, well, they made me do it, that's pure horse shit. Nobody can make you do anything. I firmly believe that. Even if there's a gun, you still have a choice. You're either going to get shot or you're going to do what they say, but you still have a choice. So the bottom line is you're in control of your thoughts, and I think, like you said, the default is when somebody says, I don't have enough money, which is super common. I don't have enough money. I'm not pretty enough, or I'm not good enough. I don't weigh the weight I want to weigh because social media says I have to look this fucking way. You know, all this dumb shit that comes out. And I think that that's where people go, is they go real dark and they go, yeah, I guess they're right. And that's
what else happens.
They accept it. Yeah. And I think they reinforce that belief in themselves.
Totally.
And what you just said is, okay, I don't have enough money. Everything's going to be okay. I do have enough money.
Yep, everything's going to be okay. And the thing is like, and we've all done this, so visualize whatever you're most stressed out about. That thought comes in at first, like you're driving home or whatever, you're minding your own business, and here comes that thought, I don't have enough money. And what happens is we don't just think that one thought, right? That mushrooms into a whole fucking scenario.
Yep.
So in the next hour of traffic, you've thought of all the things that can go wrong because you don't have enough money. And by the time you're home, you're like, oh, my God, we're going to lose our business. Because, you know, it's like you've mushroomed it like so fucking far out of proportion because you allowed it to continue. So what I love about this idea of, you know, like returning the thought is that you don't give it that allowance. You instantly shut it down. So the other way that I look at it is I always think there's like an angel on one of my shoulders and there's a devil bitch on the other. And so like the, you know, the devil bitch is always being like telling me all these horrible thoughts all the time. And, you know, the angel is like, nope, I got this. And so after a while, what happens, like if you never satisfy that little fucking devil, at a certain point, he's going to be like, okay, I'm bored of that one. I need to come at you with something different or fuck it. You know, so after a while, I swear to God, all you have to do is do this for 2 weeks. It doesn't even have to be like, I mean, it's something you'll practice and get better at for the rest of your life. But if you did this, like, just clockwork for 2 weeks solid on whatever your negative thoughts are, by the third week, you'll be like, wow, I only have to do it 100 times a day instead of 1,000.
Right.
And by 2 months later, you're like, oh, my God, I almost never think about that anymore. Guess what? You just reprogrammed your brain like a fucking computer.
Sure, which is exactly what it is.
Yeah, brilliant.
Because, I mean, how do you think you got to that point in the first place? The negativity you learned by writing it down in your brain over and over and over again.
Yeah. And it's not as hard as people think, and that's the thing I want to tell people. It's not, you don't have to have a higher mind. You don't have to be a self-helpy. I'm not a self-help person. I'm sorry. I'm not, like, dogging on my face at all. I'm just saying, like, that wasn't ever who I grew up to be. I wanted this to reach people who may not have never connected with it in any other way before, you know? So you don't have to be like, oh, I'm this higher mind person to get it. This is some regular shit. This is some normal shit.
and it's effective and it works.
They change their
thinking. That's the first one. What else do they do?
Yeah, so there's one other tool, because there are times, you know, especially if something comes up that is unexpected, so maybe it's a new situation that your thoughts are going to just want to destroy you on. So,
like, let's go earthquake moment.
Yeah, exactly. So earthquake moments happen, and what I mean by earthquake moment is when something terrible happens, honestly. Yeah. Like, it could be tragic, or it could be losing a job. It could be something major that just rattles your world, like, in a totally different way. So in a situation like that, obviously all your thoughts are going to want to go there, and they're probably going to want to go in a really negative space. And so just returning them isn't going to work. Your brain's going to be like, nope, sorry, bitch. That's not what's happening today. We're still going to focus on this, like it or not. So there's two other tools that I teach. And one is the power of mottos. I call it your motto for life. So in a situation like that, when you're dealing with so much stress and such a situation that is unnavigated prior,
right,
a motto can really, really save you. And the motto has to be something that makes you feel like you're back in control, because one of those situations is going to make you feel what? Out of control, right? Like,
of course,
the world's changing around you. So for me, when everything was so scary and up in the air, my motto that literally I used for everything under the sun, I used it to get through spin class, I used it to get through a meeting.
I'm going
to
love this.
I used it to get through my fucking divorce was, I can do it. I am strong. And I'm telling you, if you say that to yourself 10 times when you're in the middle of just everything crumbling around you and you don't know how to handle it, you don't think you can do it, you close your eyes and 10 times you say to yourself, I can do it. I am strong. And I'm telling you, when you're done with that, you're like, I got this. It's going to be okay. And you might not feel perfect, but you're going to feel a whole lot better then had you just let your mind keep going down its little rabbit hole. So that's a big tool. And you lean on it and you tell yourself, I'm okay. I'm okay. We're going to be okay. So every single time these thoughts come up that try to sabotage your success, that try to blow your life up, you stop them and you neutralize them by saying something that holds power for you. And it can be
and
different.
Personal.
Yeah.
Personal.
Yeah. Different for everybody.
Absolutely personal. So with the HBR method, when you were kind of going through all, like, after your earthquake moment, after that chaos, after that tragedy, and you started to kind of rebuild the life and the woman you wanted to be, the completely fictional mm-hmm. character. I love that analogy, by the way.
Yeah.
It's so great, because I think people need to do that, because they try – conformity is this weird virus, and I think that's what it is. I think fear is the virus, you know?
Yeah.
It's transferred to everybody, and it starts really, really small, and it turns into this monster that shuts people down. And I think everybody needs to have fear, and I think fear needs to be put in a box, and it's just enough to keep you motivated to go get all your shit done. But
yeah,
that's it. It
yeah.
can't get any bigger. And I think with this, when did you actually go, holy fuck, this is really working?
I'll be totally honest. I have them all the time. Yesterday, you guys, was a huge one of those moments. So to give you some context, and, you know, this happened yesterday, so this is something I've shared before, but I, way back when I started, you know, at first I thought I was going to be a career woman. That was kind of the only path I ever thought existed, and that was
sure.
before I was writing or whatever. And so when I made up this fictional character, I was like, okay, she has a big corner office, she has a great title, people respect her, she's wearing a suit and briefcase, and but she still has time for her kids and, you know, all this stuff. And so the amazing thing was, it was about 18 months after he left, where I had gone from like an inside sales position, like calling in a closet, to working my ass off, and I actually was promoted to vice president of national sales in 18 months, which is, you know, pretty crazy. And so literally I was manifesting that, and I was like, the very first time I felt that, where I was like, maybe I made this happen, was on the very first business trip I had ever taken in my life, and it was right after I got this promotion, and I was terrified of this promotion. I was like, oh my God, I'm in over my head, I don't even know what I'm doing, like, you know, whatever. And the CEO had come to me and basically was like, I need you in New York, blah, blah, blah. We have this big conference, you have to go, you know, represent us. And so, you know, he had just handed me my itinerary, and at that point my vision board was right behind my desk, and all these pictures were around my desk or whatever, and I was just kind of in that frantic stage of like, I don't want to forget anything, I want to do this
sure.
right, you know, whatever. And I remember like looking at my board, just glancing at it out of the corner of my eye, and right in the center of the board is a picture of Times Square, and above it I had like written in handwriting like, New York City, baby. And I had put that on there 18 months before, you know, like when my husband had left. And
right.
and all of a sudden I like look in my hand, which is the itinerary, and it's my flight to JFK. And I remember, it gives me chills every single time I say it, and I say, you know, because I just remember like looking at it and looking at that. And anybody else in that situation would have been like, no, that's a work trip. It's not; those aren't the same thing. And in that second, I knew I fucking did that. And I not only knew that I had done it, but I was like, wait a second. How did I make that happen? Because when I put that on my board, I was fucking on food stamps and didn't have a job. So how did all these little steps have fallen into place to put me in this moment right now, where I'm going to be spending a week, all expenses paid, on the company Amex in New York City? Like, how is this happening? And so I just remember, like, blogging about it and writing about it on the flight and going, I have to figure this out. And then it was like the floodgates open, or I cracked the code or some shit. And
you just said it. You cracked the code.
You, I have lit that board has come to life in, like, a sci-fi crazy kind of way. Like, come to life. And it was funny because as I was at Pinterest yesterday, which is a huge thing for me, because everything that I teach is I teach people how to build their boards by
Pinterest,
finding
get a membership on Pinterest. Yep.
Yeah, by finding the perfect picture, because you have to have a picture that means something to you. It cannot be random. And the only place I've ever found to find pictures that truly inspire me are there. So I've been, you know, making my boards from them since they came out, you know, and like 7 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
And so to be able to go there and teach their employees how to build boards out from Pinterest, I'm telling you, I just, like, wanted to cry the whole time I was there. I was like, this is crazy.
No, that's amazing because, but think about it. You just said it too. You manifested that too because you started with using Pinterest.
Oh, completely.
And now look where you ended up.
It's a full circle moment, like so full circle. It was just, it was like insane. It was one of those moments where you just literally feel like you are just, you know, like high. You have a full body buzz. It's the best fucking feeling. Manifesting is the best feeling there is on the planet. I don't care what anyone says. Like,
because you're in control. Oh, you're in control.
Just, you feel so alive. It's so amazing.
And I think the quality of your life is in direct proportion to how much you feel like you're in control of your life.
Yes.
When you feel like you're spun way out of control, you cannot get your shit together no matter how many books you read and how you do. But the second you start to put yourself in the driver's seat, I love that, like the steering wheel. What a great analogy where it's, I'm in control. Wait, oh my motherfucker, God. I'm in control.
And I'm telling you, like, I actually, like, my kids laugh at me because I'm like, no, I have a superpower. Like, straight up, I have a superpower. And my superpower is that I predict my future, period, point blank. And so, like, I was telling them yesterday, and then I went through literally, like, 15 slides that are side by sides of how the vision board literally came to life. And they're like, okay, we believe you. No, like, that is crazy. And then at the end, the guy was like, wait, has everything manifested from your first board? And I was like, oh, no, there's one fucking thing that has not manifested yet. So I, like, pulled up the board again, and I was like, it's Oprah.
Oh, yeah, Oprah? That's right. Yes.
Like, Oprah, she's eluding me.
No, it's coming. Everything, like, since I've, like, literally taken on your book and just immersed myself into everything you're talking about and honestly applying it, like, even right down to the vision board, it's not a goal board, it's not a dream board, it is a vision
board.
It's not tucked in my fucking closet. Good. It's not, like, you know, and like, I have, I'm going to send you a picture of my,
yes,
of my mirror. Jeez. And my goal board, but my mirror in my bathroom, and it is just nothing but post-its and pictures of shit that I'm going to do.
Yes, and your I am.
Yes, because they're just there. Like, it's just, yes. I started, it's funny because I've been doing goal boards and writing my goals for years. It wasn't the same.
No,
There were times when it became almost a chore.
Right.
Like, oh, yep. I got to make this fucking goal board. Blah. It just became a hassle. And then I listened to you and I went, that's because I'm doing it wrong.
Here's the thing, then, you just brought up such a good point, is we are trained to have goals, right? That is the one thing that we're trained from a young age.
Goal-seeking organisms, that's what we are.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, though, is goals can be super fucking demotivating, really demotivating, because there's something about a goal that puts so much pressure on you that if you don't achieve it exactly the way that you outlined it, and most of the time it's super fucking rigid,
yep, then you're defeated.
Then it's failure, and that's where all of our stupid failure comes from, is because we have a goal. Let's say, oh, I want to run a marathon by the time I'm 40. So therefore, if I run a marathon when I'm 41, I've failed my goal, right?
That's yeah, how even though you did it. That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And that's the problem with goals. So I really don't talk too much about goals other than just having, like, some benchmarks, just so you know that you're, you know, on the path that you need to be on. But people get so hung up on these super goals. Oh, my goal is to have $1 million in the bank by whatever. Who fucking cares? What is $1 million going to do for you? Tell me how it will change your life. Show me visually what $1 million looks like in your life. If you can do that, cool.
That's different.
Yeah.
That's what you said, though. It's not about, even, like, money ain't a thing, right? Like, it's like, it's not about the money. It's
about the life.
The experience and the process and the life and the person you become.
Yep.
To manifest everything
you
want.
And the money comes.
It's a byproduct.
You can manifest it long before you have money. So I was literally, like, sitting NBA, you know, courtside NBA games. I was going to NFL games with, you know, field passes and shit, and I didn't have a dime. Like, I was still, you know, trying to get on my feet. Those things showed up in my life because what I was focusing on was building a life based on moments and experiences and the life I wanted to live and the life I wanted to give my kids and the memories we wanted to build. And so they were coming to me way before I could have ever afforded any of them,
sure,
you know, and still are. Thank God.
Well, I mean, and you've become, like, you're a raging success, and it's because you, like, I don't think, people don't understand, if they don't know who you are, they need to Google the fuck out of you and figure you out, because I shit you not, I will, like, forever be a friend and forever be a fan, because you've changed such a huge part of the way I look at how the future is created, and I thought I had it. I thought I was like, oh, man, I know how to do all this. I've created, like, I came from, they gave me 9 months to live, Sarah. 12,
oh, my God.
12 years ago. Yeah, they told me I was going to die.
Oh, my God.
And I said, you know, I just don't really like your answer.
Like, unless, that doesn't work for me.
Unless, you know, I got shit to do. They told me I'd never have kids. I have two. You know, they told me I was not going to make it. I tell you this, when I found that out, the girl I was with, I told her, she told me, how could you fucking do this to me? I hate you. You're horrible. Covered my, yeah, I shit you not, covered my apartment in Post-its that said, you're a piece of shit. You're fucking dirt. You're getting what you deserved. I hate you. Like, just,
what?
It took energy. It took energy to do this. I came home from work one day, and I went, holy fuck, there's 300 Post-its all over my walls, man.
Oh, my God.
And, oh, raging psycho. And I mean, I know everybody always says, oh, my ex was nuts. No, she really was. But
yeah,
it's the truth, right? But then what's funny is I went through all kinds of treatment. I went through all kinds of stuff, and nothing was working. Nothing. And I went from 230 pounds to about 165 pounds, and I walked with a cane. I had, like, I mean, I was wrecked. I was done, and I was 32 at the time, so I'm 45 now.
Oh, my God.
So, and I thought it was over. And I remember sitting in my apartment. I had sold everything. I had no money. I had pretty much given up. And I said, God, you had better give me a fucking reason to be here, because I'm going to do it myself. I sure shit, I'm not going to let you take me out. I will do it myself. I was mad at God.
Yeah.
I hated the world. I was a miserable prick. I was just like, I didn't give a fuck about anybody, and not in the opinion ways. Like, I Two days later, I'm going to get all choked up. 2 days later, I met, well, who's now my wife. I still remember this. We like, literally the second I saw her, I went, I know I'm going to marry her. I just knew it.
Aww.
And we went for lunch. Listen to this craziness. We went for lunch about a week later. We just kind of wrapped and talked a little bit. And then we went for lunch about a week later. And I still remember the restaurant. It was Chevy's. It was like, there was nobody in there. It was so weird. We were all by ourselves, and it was noon. You think it would be packed? There's not a soul in this place. And we're sitting there, and I said, you know what? I said, I have to tell you something. And in my head, I'm going, I'm absolutely crazy about this person. I don't even know her. I don't know why. And I have to take a chance right now that she's going to get up and walk away when I tell her that they gave me 9 months. Because I didn't want to be that asshole.
Who
gets all involved, and then I die.
Yeah.
Then, you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm a piece of shit if I do that. I was not selfish like that, so I needed to tell her, and I was like, I got to tell you. And she looks at me. She goes, is it about being sick? And I said, yeah. I said, how did you know? And she says, well, you know, some people at the gym that, you know, they know you and you've been talking to them, and they told me. And I said, well, I just have to let you know, they didn't give me a lot of time.
Yeah.
And she goes, she looks me dead in the eye, and she goes, I gotta take a breath. She says, if you have 2 weeks or 2 days or 2 years, she goes, I'll take it.
Oh, God. See, he totally answered your prayer.
100%.
He brought you an angel who saved
you. That's what
you.
I call her. I've been calling her that for 12 years.
Yep, gave you a reason. Wow.
And that's
amazing.
So I think about that, and I think about what you're teaching. You're the only person I've ever come across in 12 years that's ever doing what I feel inside and showing people how to do it.
That's why I felt like when I was interviewing the people, and you know, because you've read the book, so no one I interviewed is a self-help person. I didn't interview one single fucking self-help person. I interviewed regular people. Probably 70% of the people in my book have never read a self-help book in their life, and they all did the same thing that I was doing, and that's why I did it, because I was like, I know regular people who are finding success have got to be doing all the same things. And that's why I was like, if I can just figure out what it is we're doing. And here's the crazy part, and I am not even fucking kidding you. because I didn't want to taint anyone's answer and I didn't want to taint their story. So I just said, hey, I'm writing a story and it's really just about people's journey to find success. Will you tell me your story? And a huge majority of people in the book had never, ever told their personal story before, ever. Wow. And we're even talking celebrities and the sports people I put in there had never told their story before. And so all I did was I'm like, I'm going to put it on record. I'm not going to say anything. I'm still here, but, you know, I'm not going to say anything. Just tell me your story from start to finish. And so we'd record like 2-3 hours of them just telling me their story. And then when I was done, I would go through and I'd read their story and I'd be like, yep, there's the hustle. Yep, there's the visualization. Yep, there's do it. Yep, that's how they changed their thinking. And boom, the 8 steps were in every story.
That's insane.
And I was like, okay, we're onto something.
But that's, I mean, like you said, you put it in the greatest way possible. You cracked the code, you know?
That's
and
what
it's
it
not,
felt
it's,
like. I was like,
it's
oh
not
my
a
God.
Gimmick, though. But it's not a gimmick. There's so much gimmicky bullshit out there that goes, hey, you know, we, and it's always like social media. They post, you know, I'm going to give you the 3 magic steps to get everything in the world you want. And it's, you know, and then you look at it and you're like, yeah, but you're not successful. That's like, that's like somebody who's gotten, you know, like nothing. Someone who doesn't know how to swim, teaching them how to swim. Like, you don't have it. You didn't do it.
Right.
You haven't been through the trenches.
That was my thing. I'm telling you, like, when I very first started, and people, I was talking to Ed a little bit about this, and you probably know from reading the book, but, like, when I started, I was like, who am I to tell anybody anything? Like, I felt so uncomfortable with even giving advice, really, because all I had been doing up to that point was, like, putting my life out there and just saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I want to do. And then I was putting these side-by-side comparisons out. And then people just, like, swarmed it and was like, wait, I've had a vision board forever. None of this happened. Wait, I've read every book on the law of attraction. I've never got it to work. Like, what is going on? Like, why is that working for you? And so kind of, like, de facto or whatever, I just was responding because I was like, someone messages me. I feel really bad if someone messages me. So I responded, you know. And then they would try it. And it would work, and they would come back and be like, remember I asked you for advice 2 years ago? Well, guess what? And all that's happened. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, cool. You know, so it was like a very long process. So what I'm really glad about that and my own kind of like self-consciousness about it was that I was super diligent on literally documenting everything. So I was like, just in case no one believes me, I'm going to put a picture up of my vision board and the date stamp of when it was put up so no one can say that I made this up. And so I started with the premise of, if this doesn't work, I'm going to prove that this shit is bullshit.
Yeah.
So I went in almost skeptical, and then the more it started happening, the more I started being like, okay, this is a side-by-side. I can't make this shit up. Like, this is insane. Then it was like, okay, now I have like 50 or 60 of them. So, you know, like, they proved
it
themselves
proved
over
it,
time.
You proved it to yourself, and by proving it to yourself, everybody else saw it. And that's the thing, too, is people want this defined, precise answer, and it doesn't exist. It is that you have to do, like, your 8 steps, everybody has to do it for themselves.
Yes, you have to, and there's homework. That's why I put the homework in the book.
Oh, Jesus, like, there's a ton of homework.
Yeah, I'm like, don't just read this book. It's not going to do fucking you any good. Like, don't
waste
your money.
How many people have self-help books on their shelf, and they never read past the first chapter for number one?
Exactly.
Or number two is they read it, and they don't do anything
the
book says to do.
Yeah,
they go, it didn't work. It didn't.
Right?
You know what, push-ups don't work when you read about them either.
And here's the other thing I want to say about that, too. Is that I think there's so many people who are addicted to self-help where all they're looking for is, like, the next book, the next thing, the next whatever. And all they're doing is, like, adding noise to the whole situation because they're not implementing anything that they're learning. And so it's great if you have an entire library of self-help books and you've read every single one of them. Please show me what you've fucking done. Like,
yeah,
tell
they
me
wind up diluting.
Thing you did and then, you know, whatever. Are you where you wanted to be? Like, how did it hook? So I don't care if it's me or somebody else that you, I don't care what method you pick, but find something and then actually do it. Like, try it.
Ideas aren't anything. Execution is where it is.
Yes, do the work. Otherwise, you're going to be at the same exact spot, you know, after you read it as you were before.
Sure, and then people say it doesn't work.
Right.
Which is ridiculous. It works. You know, it just works. Man, Sarah, I could sit here and rap with you all
day.
I
know, I just
You're so much fun, and your energy is so, like, I'm just soaking up everything out of you. Like, you just
I'm so grateful that you got to have this conversation, because really,
you
it's amazing.
Thank you so much. I know you're super busy, and I know this is a really big deal, and it's very important to me. Like, you're very special to me. I really appreciate that.
Means and, so much. Literally, the story you told me just, like, touched my heart so much, because that was literally the dream when I started out. I was like, somebody's going to read this. It's going to change their life. They're going to get it. Like, it'll be worth it, I swear.
100% worth it. Like, I can't give out enough copies of your book. Like, it's everybody gets it. Everybody I meet, I tell about it. I always tell everybody, go on Audible and just download this. Don't even wait for fucking Amazon 2-Day Prime. Or just go Audible instant. Get it and listen to it. It'll change your world. Just, you got to apply it. And that's what I said to Rodolfo, you know, and when I gave him my book, I said, here you go. Do it.
I'm so proud of you for doing work. Nice job.
You know what? Thank you for everything you've put out. I really appreciate you. If people want to get in touch with you, go to sarahcentrella.com. That's C-E-N-T-R-E-L-L-A, correct?
Yep.
Okay. And listen, if you guys haven't bought her book or bought Audible, hey, get Audible, because, you know, reading and driving is like texting and driving. Don't do that shit. And number two is get the book. Get the book. Yeah. It's not like anything you've ever read.
And now, do the work.
Yeah.
Every person comments to me and says, oh, I just got your book. Literally, like, if you go through and read my comments, I'll be like, awesome, did you do the work?
Yeah, nothing. Then it's just crickets, right? You hear nothing.
Right?
You're like, yeah, that's right. Call me when you did the work. Now, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so definitely you can follow me on any of the social medias. I really try to be as responsive as I possibly can. Sarah Centrella at all social media outlets, basically. And then my email is also on my website. And I just came out with super affordable online courses that individualize each step. So, you know, if you get to a step, think it's a really, really dense chapter. And it's one of those takes the most work to apply and just to understand it really well. So you could go on and just buy that one chapter, and they're super affordable. They're literally like an 18th of a 1-hour talk with me. So, you know, and then you have all the tools that you need to really, really grasp it. So yeah, I would love to connect.
Follow Sarah, really. And like, I've done a lot of podcasts. All you guys listening, follow Sarah. Do what she says to do. Do the work, because it works. She's just it comes from her soul, and she's been in the trenches. She's done the work. She knows what hustle means.
Heck yes, I live it.
So proud of you, Sarah. Thank you so much for taking the call with me.
Oh,
I love you
to pieces.
You are the best.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been amazing.
Let's stay in touch.
Yes, thanks so much.
All right, bye, Sarah.
Bye.